Hi, everybody. It's another episode of Happy Being Well podcast, and I have an exciting guest here today. We've got Robert B. Foster. He is an international speaker. He is a podcast host of Shut Up and Grind, and he is a fitness coach. So he is all about overcoming obstacles. And today we're going to dive deep into, you know, what led him to this journey, what sparked him to be a fitness coach, a podcast host, an international speaker, and his journey and some of his clients' transformational journeys. But before we get in, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your place for unique and fashionable and comfortable yoga leggings, along with other fabulous self-care products such as crystals, organic soaps, organic facial masks, sage, and much more at happybeingwell.com. So without further ado, Robert, so I'm excited. I was just on your podcast like last week. Fabulous podcast host. I highly recommend everybody to subscribe to Robert B. Foster's podcast called Shut Up and Grind. It's on Apple iTunes and Spotify. So Robert, like, what led you to embark on this journey that you're on as a fitness coach, an international speaker, and a podcast host? What sparked the evolution of that?
I mean, it's quite a long story, but what sparked it is I'm the youngest of seven siblings, and we were all athletes, including my parents. So though at that point, my parents were more in a bowling league, but you know, it still requires getting out there and showing some skill. But like my dad ran track and played basketball. He did all that stuff. So as kids, we all did it too. But as the youngest, you know, it obviously took me the longest to develop because I was so much younger than everyone else. So watching all of them, I got so sick of being called so-and-so's little brother, right? Drove me insane. So that's where my competitive spirit came from, because I just wanted to be known as Robert Foster. Not Ramona's little brother, not Ralph's little brother, not Monique's little brother. So the day I got my first headline in a newspaper where it says Chera host Rob Foster, I was like, finally, you know, finally. So it stemmed from that. And so take it to towards the end of high school. That was when I started listening to Zig Ziglar and Jim Rohn. And I just loved just hearing them speak. And I've always been pretty good at speaking, and I would just like have these visions of me just stepping out onto a stage with just thousands of people just wanting to hear my message. And so with fitness, I was kind of doing it because like you have to inspire people. You have to really get them to look deep within. And at this point, I was more doing it with athletes. So like right after high school, I started coaching track and field. And so I was starting to put the wheels in motion there about making it more than just a sport. You know, it's like I want them to see the mental performance aspect of it and not just the physical. And then somehow I landed for 20 years as a restaurant manager, you know, completely off of that scope. But then just as life went on and I became a father, and just the schedule of being a restaurant manager is brutal. And so I had actually converted at my old house, my garage, into a gym. It was more so for me to decompress before I went inside, because I was snapping at my ex. I was snapping at the kids for nothing, because I was bringing that stress home with me. So I started using it as an outlet. And I found here in Rhode Island, when people move, they're very generous. So like I would look for moving sales, you know, just to like buy some weights, you know, buy an exercise bike. And then they would just give me stuff, you know, because like they're moving in 3 days and they just need stuff gone. So I just started taking more and more stuff. And I was like, I wonder if I should just train a couple people, you know, just for giggles. Like, it's not like I had this grand plan of opening up a gym and, you know, being a successful trainer. I just wanted to train a handful of people. But then it just grew and grew and grew. And I was like, okay. And this is kind of cool. It's like they pay me to almost like be mean to them, make them do stuff they don't want to do, but they get results and they love me for it. I was like, this is way better than going to the restaurant where people don't want to be. People complain all the time. People are calling out sick. People are not showing up. We're running out of food. Equipment's breaking, right? So it's like, And then once my income from fitness started matching what I was making working 60 hours a week versus 12 hours a week, that's when I started saying, you know, I have to take everything I learned as a restaurant manager and just shift it over here. You know, because I had success as a manager. I won awards, you know, I got promotions, I got bonuses and all that stuff. So I was like, I just need to just transfer the skill set over here and then go learn the things that I don't already know.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you're like the accidental coach, and you're absolutely right. I like that you're bringing that up because, you know, so often as people who are aspiring entrepreneurs or going into the entrepreneurial journey, everyone's always like dissing the job, but you know, myself included, and I like that you bring this up. The job teaches us a lot of skill sets when we're managing all these different plates, you know, accounting, finance, budgeting, managing people, you know, managing the actual product and service, you know what I mean? There's not, it's not just a tunnel vision of like, I'm building a business. There's actually a lot of facets to it, and you have to manage it like on an ongoing basis at the same time. And when you're in a, especially a restaurant manager, I mean, you're definitely juggling all of those. And in your, you know, you are like an entrepreneur because you are managing the business, you know, you're managing all of those departments. So that was a great training for you to be able to carry that over. So I just feel like it needs to be kind of, you know, addressed more. Like, I don't, you know, everyone's knocking the job knock, but it's like you do, it is a great foundation. If you've never had that experience to, you know, develop those skill sets, so you can carry it over. So it's not such a shock when you're trying to build a business, because there is a lot that is often not discussed. I mean, I think the, you know, it's very glamorous, but it is a lot, there's a lot to it. I mean, you got to deal with numbers and you got to deal with people, a lot of difficult people at times. And you really need to have that diplomatic skill in order to deal with people, have those great communication skill sets, because there's different personality styles. And it's not just in a business setting, it's also with your clients, you know, you need to get the message through and inspire them. So that being said, you know, how do you inspire your clients? I know you're basically mentioning a little bit of tough love there, which I, you know, I would assume is obviously most common. Like, it's hard work to get results, so most people do need to get pushed. But I mean, do you find there's a different, you know, depending upon personality styles, you know, do you feel like you're tweaking your motivational strategies a bit when you're motivating your clients?
So,
found a commonality amongst everybody. Is there
there is a commonality, but there's also approach differences as well, because, you know, there's four different types of people. There's leaders, there's doers, there's thinkers, and there's feelers. So it's like with someone who's a doer, you can just give them the task and they'll take it and run. You know, the leaders want the process. Like the leaders want, okay, so what's next? Why am I doing this? What does this work? Then you have the thinkers that just dissect everything. You know, like they're not quite as structured as the leaders, but they just want to know every last detail of what you're doing. And then the feelers just want to be cared for. You know, so for someone like a doer, I could just say, listen, shut your mouth and get it done. And they will. You know, with the feelers, I'll say, remember you said you wanted to do XYZ. This is the pathway to do it. Now get it done. You know, with the leader, it's like, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. Now get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, and then with the thinker, you answer all the questions. Now get it done. Right? So at the end of the day, the commonality is shut up and grind. You know, but I have to deliver it to them in the way that they're going to receive it. Because if I go to a feeler, with that tough drill sergeant type attitude, they're gonna shut off. They might cry, you know. And so it's like that doesn't work for them. And then same thing with the doers. If you're given too much instruction, they're just like, can we just go? Like, can we go already? You know, it's like, I got the task. Can we go? You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't understand that. And it's relevant if you think about the educational system too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have kids in school and you try to teach everyone the exact same way. And it's like that D student may not just be dumb or underperforming. Maybe they're just not receiving the information the way you want them to. So it's the same way, whether it's fitness clients, whether it's your business clients. So I just found the way to take my central theme of shut up and grind, and then I tailor it to each one of them, but according to their goals, not according to me. It's like, don't just do that because I said so. It's like, remember when you told me that you're going away in 2 months and you bought a certain bikini that you want to fit into? Get it done. You know, remember you said that you're borderline type 2 diabetes. Is that effort going to get you to your goal? You know, so it's tough love, but it's not just me yelling at them. It's me reiterating what they told me they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent point. This is often very overlooked. Also, too, in the workplace, you know, the leadership team typically in most workplaces uses like a fear-based way to motivate people to produce higher productivity, like either pitting people against each other, the favoritism tactic, or fear of demotion, fear of losing your job, blah, blah, blah. And not everybody's motivated that way. And especially in this day and age, I would say with the uprising of personal development, I feel like millennials are, you know, becoming more into personal development. I feel, you know, with the rise of TEDx talks, and everybody knows what a TEDx talk is. I don't think it's, you know, the dominant way to motivate a workforce anymore. I feel like, you know, if you look at more of a hipper company, you are starting to see an emergence of a new way of motivating their workforce, especially if they've got millennials on hand. Yes. If you look at Google, you know, they've got, you know, all the couches there, and it's like they're trying to promote a sense of, you know, like this is your company too, and you're, whatever you put into it, you're going to receive back in terms of benefits, to kind of motivate more of an independent way of going about, you know, achieving those goals on their own instead of this micromanaging or fear-based tactics. Because you're right, it's going to, for certain personality style, it's going to demotivate them. Yes. And they're going to go into a fight, flight, or freeze way of reacting when feeling threatened. So absolutely, it totally needs to be discussed more, you know, and it's, every business owner needs to like know that too, because either you have employees or not, you know, you have to in a way, you know, like when you're hiring a marketing team or a vendor, you're not the only client. Yeah. And I have a little bit of intel on that, because I used to work for a really successful marketing agency. So, you know, you're not their only client. And so you have to look at them as if they are your kind of employee, to motivate them to produce their best work for you, and give them incentives to give you attention and deliver you results, because they, you know, you are competing for their time and attention with other accounts. So having great communication skills and being very in tune with different personality styles to tailor your communication to that personality style is really vital, not in all facets of life, really, truly.
See, one thing that gets overlooked is, I'm sure you've heard in your travels about effective communication, right? It's like almost, you hear that in any leadership meeting you go to. But what you don't hear enough of is about effective connection. Mm-hmm. There's a difference there of being able to just articulate something, but actually have it resonate with the people you're talking to. And that's a skill that I actually teach, because I'm also, I call myself a storytelling coach. You know, because mm-hmm. speaker coach is overplayed. So I'm a storytelling coach. But I help people do that, and says, you know, and instead of just saying to someone, you know, do that because I said so. And I'll use myself as an example as a restaurant manager. Like I carry myself with a lot of confidence, right? Some people would mistake it for cockiness, but I'm just really confident because I can back up most of what I say, right? So like in the kitchen scenario, you know, it gets busy back there. So sometimes even if the dining room is say half full, that the kitchen's still pumping. Mm-hmm. So, and I would sit there and hype everyone up. Listen, today's the day. You are gonna show everybody how amazing you are. Okay, so-and-so, you're gonna show everybody how amazing you are. Don't worry about the fact that we're short staffed because there's no better group to handle this than us. You know, so like getting it, and again, I'll just make it more than about just cooking. And so making sure that our standards were high. And you know, I'd be like, would you serve that to your grandmother? They're like, yeah, but we're busy. You didn't answer my question. Would you serve that to your grandmother? No, then don't serve it here. You know, rather than just yelling and screaming that they made a mistake. You know, it's like you want to hit them with something personal.
Yeah.
And that's where that connection comes from. You know, because in my younger, more feistier days, I would rule with the iron fist. Like I became a GM at 20 years old. You know, so 20, you know, still learning how to use my testosterone, you know, fresh into adulthood. And it was just like, if I just barked louder, because in most cases, I was one of the youngest ones on the staff, but I was the boss, you know, so I felt like I had to just be loud and make all these older people respect me. Mm-hmm. But then one of my bosses, this was in 1994, and I don't think I can remember anything else from that year except this, is he sat me down this one day. And he did the whole sandwich theory on me. But his main point was, you know, you have all the talent in the world. You're a hell of a cook. You know, you're a really good leader. He's like, but what's keeping you from being great is how you talk to people. And I was 24 years old then, I think. And it just gave me that mental shift. That when I had to step back and just reevaluate how I'm talking to people, then it's like, wow, I can be an ass sometimes, you know, like it just took me hearing that to realize like there's a fine line between being a strong leader and being a jerk. And I was on the jerk side. And so once I changed that within me, and then a couple of years down the line, I got certified in True Colors, which is now DISC. So True Colors was the next evolution from the Myers-Briggs test. So mm-hmm. then it went to True Colors and now you got the DISC assessment. So that's when I really got deep into learning the four personality types. And then that completely changed how I connect with people. So I went from being a communicator to a connector.
Awesome, love that. So would you say that, you know, in order to really truly deeply connect with people, that you had to be able to know yourself to connect with yourself first?
Yes, okay. Yes. You can connect with people because if you know enough about them, because then you can tailor any one of your stories to them, to what they have going on. But, because like I said, that's what I teach people now. There are people who have successful businesses and I'm like, so tell me your life story. And they're like, like when you came on my show and I said, the first thing I'm going to ask you is who is Rita? Because when I started doing that, I was catching people off guard and they couldn't answer. So it's like, so like the first minute and a half is good question. You know, it's like you can do all this stuff for everyone else, but you can't even say who you are. Like that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I knew who I was in my statement, my who I am, but the questions of like going back in time of like, you know, why I selected that major or, you know, that was stuff that thought about in like, you know, my God, like maybe like 18 years. So, but yeah, great questions. Like these are things that we need to always go back in time. Actually, you motivated my last Facebook post because I ran into an old photo of me my actually first paid speaking gig when I was a university student and I had two majors and one of them was labor studies. And I was asked to speak to a national union organization to speak to, you know, how to solve union struggles, a solution around that. So, and it was like my first major, yeah. So I had the brochure of it and the announcement and what I spoke about and took a picture of it. And I made a post about it, you know, encouraging others to always look back and, you know, recognize, identify those moments in life that sparked you to, that gave you more energy to want to devote to a cause or just, you know, motivated you to fully show up in life, you know, like what was those sparks that led to yes. the further evolution of your identity, right? So, yeah, awesome. Excellent points. So in order to fully connect with other people, the lesson here is, you know, pay attention to them, be in tune with them, and get to know their personality styles and be well-versed in the four personality types according to DISC. And like truly listen, you know, and so this way you're able to say the things that they're going to resonate with, you know, in some people, for example, some people need to know the reasons why, you know, you do a certain thing, like, and that motivates them to do it. And then some people like, okay, I don't need to listen to all those whys and reasons. I just want to do it. Like, stop. Okay, let's go. How do we do this? So, you know, it's just that, you know, people are motivated differently and just based on how they like to process information, like their evidence procedure. You know, we all have different ways of, you know, like, what's the evidence here? And some people like, okay, I already know the evidence. Okay, let's just do it already. Come on. And some people just need to have that reinforcement. Mm-hmm. When they hear the evidence and reasons why we're doing a particular thing, it activates their motivation. Like, it reminds them why we're doing this. So, awesome. So, okay, cool. Awesome. I love that. And so now we're fully connecting with people. And have you, like, what transformations have you seen in your clients in terms, like, how did it, like, once they work with you, like, you know, has their personal life improved, their professional life, has, you know, have they increased their confidence, has their relationships improved, like, has anybody came in with, like, a low sense of self-worth, and then all of a sudden they just started to transform into like a butterfly?
Yeah, that's one of the things I've seen ever since I started this back in 2009, is I love the moment when the light switch flips. Like that's the moment where they get it. And so the challenge in what I do, it's not so much getting them to do the workouts I put out, it's getting them to believe they can do the workouts that I put out. Because the things I set up, they're not easy by any means, but neither is life. And that's how I marry the two between personal development and fitness. Because I tell people, I said, you know, I'm a personal development facilitator more than I am a fitness coach. I just use fitness as the platform. So we do a lot of things outside of the gym as well. We go to rock climbing gyms. We're actually going to one Saturday. We do obstacle races. We have one coming up in 3 weeks. Well, we go on hikes. We're hiking Mount Washington, which is the highest peak in the Northeast. We're doing that one at the end of August. And each one of these things, I attach a theme to it, whether it's resilience, whether it's defying the odds, whether it's, you know, push beyond what you think you're capable of. So with that being said, I've watched people do so many different things, whether it's I wanna run a 5K in under 30 minutes and now they're down to like 23 minutes. There's one that I wanna get into a certain pant size and they hit that goal and they've been there for the past 3 years. It's like they got there and didn't wanna turn back because I kind of frame it in a way to that they're never done. So like mm-hmm. whether they stay on with me or they go somewhere else, it's like you're never done. So just because you went on your cruise doesn't mean you can put the 20 pounds back on again. It's like, this is about you. It's about your life. It's about you being the best possible version of you. And when people say, well, we're all going to die someday. And I'm like, yeah, why speed up the process? You know what I mean? It's like don't die from something that you can control. You know, like you can control if you get type 2 diabetes. You can control if you're in a higher percentage for heart disease or stroke or any of those things. Like, you can control that, you know? So if things happen to you, it happens to you, but don't speed up the process. And so it, getting that ingrained into them and pushing them the way I push them, as long as they show up every day, results are gonna happen.
Love that. So that is an excellent point, because there's so many people that when they achieve that goal, whether it's weight loss or what have you, depending on their mindset, they will revert back. It's almost like as if it's like, okay, I got it. All right. And then all of a sudden, all of their old patterns of thinking or feeling just kind of creep up, and they're just not, it's not just about, I mean, obviously health is so important. Like, we work out, we eat nutrition, like good food and stuff, so that we can maintain and enhance our vitality and energy and, you know, be more youthful. Like, there's tons of studies proving that fitness, regular fitness, actually reverses the signs of aging. Your brain is going to perform better. Your memory is going to enhance. Like, these are all facts. There's so many health benefits to just moving your body, fitness, sleep, you know, and preventing diseases and all these things. But also too, you know, like, I mean, you know, people, I mean, you're obviously going to look better as a result, because, you know, we are creatures, we have eyes, we do see things, and we can feel too, like, we're getting into those skinny jeans, how that, as a female, how good that feels. Yes. So there is a, you know, a sense of like improving your quality of life in another aspect, not just health-wise, although health is very important, but also like, you know, just feeling good about, you know, going out to dinner with your husband, and, you know, people are always taking pictures, whether you're going to a wedding and seeing, you know, there's a certain component. And we do like live short, we have short lifespans, time goes by fairly quickly. So why not live it up to your fullest and live your best life while you're here, you know? So excellent points. And I think an excellent that you remind them that it doesn't end. It's a constant journey of discipline, you know, maintaining discipline of eating proper, working out regularly, and making it like a lifestyle, you know? And so I know for me, like, my motivation style is like, I always have to be reminded of the benefits, you know? And then once I'm reminded, like, for example, I just wrote an article for Brains magazine on like literally like research-based facts on the benefits of meditation and actually how that actually can make you more successful in business. So, you know, of course there's certain days when I'm super busy, and then I may neglect a meditation session. So after writing that article, I'm like, I am going to make sure I meditate every night before bed, right? And I've been meditating for years. And so like, just by, and I know the benefits, but just getting re-exposed to all the studies and research studies they've done with monks and, you know, of how it's enhanced their brain functioning abilities and concentration and going into deep REM sleep and your intuition and getting to know yourself better as a result and being able to connect with people better and not being triggered so much because you're getting to like be more tuned with what's going on in your body and you're just more in tune with truth. Like, because, you know, whoever's like saying something to offend you covertly or directly, that's their stuff. And so it's nothing to do with you. You just kind of get more emotional maturity, you know, when you're living a life that is filled with fitness, like, you know, getting tuned with your body is going to move your body. You're more in tune with your body. Meditation is getting in tuned with your body as well, because you're relaxing your body and you're more aware of your heart rate, you know, what's going on, your breathing. So it just calms you down, no more thoughts. Okay, cool. Awesome. And what motivated you to be an international speaker?
So I was 17 years old. I grew up in the woods here in Rhode Island. And I had a stick in my hand. I know the stick was my microphone. And I was talking to the trees. I was going in too, a good motivational coach type speech. And my mom is up on the deck. She's like, what the hell are you doing? Right? And I look back and said, I'm motivating the masses. You know, so like it was something that I always wanted to do. So once I get into the fitness setting, so now we start doing nutrition workshops and workshops on the benefits of water. And then I started doing women's empowerment workshops. And I just loved being up in front of people because there are so many misguided people out there. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault because, you know, TV and social media and stuff is very misleading because people are out there looking for clickbait. You know, and people just can't find actual, solid, useful, implementable information. So I started doing these workshops, and then I just started getting asked to speak in various, you know, to speak at a hospital where, oh, sorry, thought I lost you for a second. Speak at a hospital with, cause like I'm an organ donor. I gave a kidney to my sister. And so I went speaking at the blood centers and the organ donation centers. And then some corporate places would have awareness events. And I would just the more and more I did it, I was like, this is awesome. You know, and so I got an opportunity to speak up in front of 1,000 people. It was back in 2016. And it was funny because they were doing a hot seat. I was at Fitness Business Summit in California, Southern Cali. And so said there was 1,000 people in there. And he says, you know, well, I'm going to bring 4 people up here and we're going to do 8-minute hot seats. And I closed my laptop, put it in my bag, and I shimmied down to the end of the row. And so he says, all right, who wants to come up? And like all these hands go up. I ran to the stage. You know, so like I put myself in a position to get picked. You know, so while everyone else is like, pick me. I went right up to the stage. I want in. Right. So he's like, Robert Foster, come on up. And so in front of all of these people, I got to share. You know, like and people were engaged, you know, like the heads weren't down on their cell phones. There weren't side conversations, like they were engaged. And it's like, people actually want to hear what I have to say. And then so 2020 was supposed to be the year. So the tail end of 2019, my father had gotten sick that January. And then he just slowly started getting worse and worse. He had stage 4 heart failure. And so as we were going through being in and out of the hospitals and stuff, I was telling him, I was like, it's time for me to take this speaking thing big. Like it's just times, and I'm comfortable enough now. I have my message dialed in, because what was holding me back was there were so many different lanes I could speak on. And you know, when everyone's like, you know, you gotta pick one lane, And I was like, well, damn it, I have 5. I said, so I'm gonna find a way to weave these 5 into one lane. And that's when Shut Up and Grind came to be, because I can speak on any different thing about the grind, because no matter what you do, there's a grind involved. So now we're leading up to my dad's passing. And one of the last things I said to him was, I have my first big gig set up for March of 2020. You know, and he was like, that's amazing. You know, make sure you get out there and you crush it and just keep following your dream. You know, then we lost him shortly after that. But I'm glad we lost him when we did, though, because had he made it into 2020, he would have been alone. You know, so he was able to pass. There were 3 generations of us around his bed when he took his last breath. You know, so I think he had a pretty solid ending. I mean, he was 79. So, I mean, I know that's not old, but that's not young either. You know what I mean? So he lived a nice full life. And so I went into my marketing hard. I was pitching myself, and I had, I don't care, it was like 8 to 10 gigs between March, April, and May in 2020. And then here comes the Rona swooping in and canceled them all. So at first I was trying to find a lesson in that. So I'm like, all right, so am I supposed to move in a different direction? It's like, is this just hold off and keep honing in on your message? I'm like, what is this? And then now you can't see it, but I have a podcast light over here. I have a podcast light over there. This is a green screen, right? It's like, and this is my microphone. So it's like, I had all of this stuff just sitting here that I wasn't doing anything with. So I was like, you know what? Like maybe I should just start the podcast. So maybe I should do that. Cause then once the gyms officially closed, that Monday, I did my first episode. They didn't really know what to do. Didn't have any color schemes picked. They didn't have any graphics. But I know how to speak to people. I was like, so let me just start the podcast. And then now I'll have a body of work to where I can build up a speaker reel and then go ahead and get speaking gigs. But with this, I've spoken Canada, Australia. I'm actually on Australian TV tonight. It'll be their morning show, but it's 7 o'clock here, talking about the power of vulnerability. But in India, Thailand, England, Ireland, Mexico, so all just from sitting here in my room, I'm able to talk to people around the world. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And you don't have to fly or book a hotel. I mean, you save time, you save your energy, and you can spend more time with your kids.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There is perks to doing this virtual thing.
Yes.
You know, it's constantly being on airplanes is not exactly the most fun thing to do. Jet lag.
Yes. And
being on the plane itself is not exactly a fun experience.
Agreed.
So I'm so glad. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, you found opportunities. I mean, during Rona, I've heard a lot of amazing stories that people pivoted and created these amazing opportunities during Rona. We all kind of really went virtual, and it did create more opportunities for people. So that's awesome. I'm so happy that you're going to be on Australia TV and all these other countries speaking about personal development topics, which is, I totally agree. It's like much, much, much needed. Unfortunately, you know, like every single human on this planet needs to be aware of themselves and get tuned into, you know, we all do kind of like have a dark side, some more than others. We need to be in tune with it to reduce, it's all based on fear, you know, things that we've picked up, you know, from just being roaming in society, stuff that we've picked up indirectly, you know, these indirect messages of like, you know, like maybe it's around competition based, like you're not enough, or you know, I would say a lot of it is like a very competition based type of thinking, like almost as if like a scarcity mindset, like if, you know, one person has it, that means you're going to be lacking in some way, which is completely, you know, an illusion, especially in today's day and age, when I think we spoke about this on your podcast, you know, we're living in times really, truly of great opportunities like no other decade due to technology. You know, like you're a fabulous example. You know, here we are all locked up in our homes, but because there's internet, there's internet, and we have all these amazing platforms, these audio platforms, video platforms. And if you have a message and you're passionate and you've developed your skill set, you know, there's opportunity there for you if you want to apply that consistently.
Can I expand on that?
Yeah, sure.
Because that's what I do with the whole storytelling coach thing, is because everybody has a message. A lot of times they just don't realize it. Like I had a man on my show, so it was maybe 40 shows ago, and he ended up having jaw surgery. And so like you can tell by looking at him, because like it's kind of puffy over there. And so I just kind of asked the right questions to get him to talk about it, like without directly asking him. No, that's my master interview skills, right? So I got him to talk about it because I wanted to know the process that he went through. And within, so, you know, we go back and forth a bit, and within 30 seconds, I crafted a story for him around that would be inspiring. I said, you know, instead of just saying, yeah, I had a tumor removed and it was this, I said, you got to take them through the whole process and let people feel it, right? You want them to lean into your story. Like for me, just saying, you know, I donated a kidney to my sister. Oh, great for you. That was awesome. But when I take you through the process, It's completely different. I said, so for you, if you want to get on shows and you want to engage with people in those shows, you got to go deep with it. Talk about when you first felt the lump there. What did you think it was? What was going through your mind? When you called your doctor, were you nervous? How nervous were you? What were you fearful of? Then when you were talking to your doctor, right? And just, I said, take me through the whole process. So now it's the day of your surgery. What are your fears? You know, are you worried about how the scar is going to look? You know, I said, go deep into it. Because as you go that deep, the listeners are going to be thinking of a time in their life that's similar to yours. Now, it could be a woman going in for a C-section. You know, there's concerns, or even a natural birth. You know, there's concerns. It could be like with me, with my first surgery, I had all kinds of concerns, you know, going under anesthesia and am I ever going to walk or run again? You know, so as I'm listening to you, I'm now connecting with you. So by you going deeper into your story, now I'm really, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that feeling. Like I felt that. I went through that. I had that. See, so now you're taking your story and you're help weaving it into their life. And so the stories don't have to be huge. It could be something so simple like, you know what? I quit this job to go work here. Okay, let's dissect it. What went wrong in this job? Was it the manager? Was it your coworkers? Were you unfulfilled? Did your wife hate the job? Did your husband hate the job? You know, so it's like you can just expand on the story. And then what were you searching for? Why were you searching for? What is that thing going to give to you and your family if you get it? Now that you got it, how do you feel that you got it? What has changed for you? I said, so now you take something so simple like I switched jobs and you can turn it into an inspirational, powerful story. And everyone has that within them.
That is powerful. Wow. I don't think I've heard anybody explain how to tailor a story as you just did, you know, and I hear like people talk about, oh, your story, but no one has actually ever explained it as well as you just did right then and there. So if anyone wants to craft their story, go to Robert B. Foster. Wow. That was powerful. Really, truly. Whenever, you know, any public relations publicist or anybody who specializes in PR, what you're describing, it is an art to, you know, tailor your words to elicit certain feelings to get people to kind of go through what you went through. It is, you know, it truly is an art. It's not just, you have to really think about what words you're saying, what images you're painting in the viewers' minds to kind of get them to relate and really just be there, like as if they're like reliving it with you in order to, you know, really resonate, connect with that story, to really recognize the impact that particular situation had on you at all levels, all angles, you know, and when you leave certain important pieces out, it reduces its impact. So that is, you know, it's really, truly an art and science, really, truly. You can ask any PR person, not just with a story, with anything that comes out of our mouths, whether it's written content or, you know, verbal content. It really is, it really, truly is. There's a certain sequence involved. There's a certain words you need to use. And even myself, you know, being trained in neurolinguistic programming, there's actually a charisma pattern involved too, in terms of, you know, what states we are eliciting in the viewer. You know, it's awesome. I love that. So, okay, cool. Yeah, you need to really, and that all involves to, I would say, being in tune with how you process information. I think that,
yes,
you know, if we're more in tune, like when we're listening to a fantastic story, okay, like how is that affecting us? So it just goes back to the old age cliche of, like, you know, the importance of self-discovery, paying attention to ourselves, because then we kind of understand why people need these particular either motivation strategies in terms that you can relay, in terms of how you tailor your communication, or how people can relate to you or connect with you. If you're just tuned in with how you relate and connect with what other people are saying, you know?
Yes.
And I think any person in sales can really resonate with that. You know, when you're in sales, you know, you have a history in sales, and so you play around with certain sales messages, you learn certain things, like you mentioned, you know, learning different personality styles and tailoring your message. And by the way, there are some salespeople that actually don't do that. They just have a universal set
of
sales tactics and strategies, and it's like very aggressive, and they just like and they just hit the other people that resonate with it, and they don't even care if they're dismissing all the other ones, because they're just used to delivering in that certain way. And, you know, and some of them actually, you know, are still successful because they just hit enough people that that is going to, you know, resonate with. You know, and that being said, yeah, so it's all just, you know, obviously they're an aggressive person. Like that's how you're going to sell them. But when you are in sales, what I meant to, what I forgot to say was, when you're being sold to, it's like a game. It's like, okay, let's see what you got. You know, you're listening to how they're doing it, and then you're kind of critiquing, well, if I was doing it, I would say this. Wait a second, you didn't ask me that question, because I know I've been there. I do that. I've been there so many times. And actually, like really big organizations where you would think they'd have really great salespeople as a result to their leader. And I remember just horrible sales tactics. They didn't ask me the right questions. They weren't listening to what I was saying. They didn't tailor the message, you know, to close me. I was like, how in the world are you working for this? Because that organization reflected that. Like, that's what they taught.
and that's the worst, when they don't listen. Like, that's the worst. But like, I wanna just give another quick example about the connection piece. So a local university here, they had a health event. So they had people from the American Heart Association, they had people from, you know, the Cancer Society. And then they had a group of us speaking about organ donation. And so the leader of our group, the New England Organ Donor Services, she had to go up and present the facts. Now we were talking to 160 high school seniors, right? High school seniors, you have to know your audience. And so facts can be boring, but with the right skill, you can make facts fun. And so as she's up there doing her thing, you can see all the kids were like this, right? All of them, they like just checked right out, because she was just like, you know, this percentage of this population can donate organs, and this percentage of it was just so dry and so boring. And so the woman I was sitting next to, now she had heard me speak at a different event before. So I looked at her and said, watch how I bring this back. And so as I go up, so she had left a slide up there talking about one organ donor can affect 50 people. And I was glad that she left that slide up there, because I worked it into my spiel. But so I get up there, I said, how we doing, everyone? Just all nice, loud, you know, projected the voice. And like all the heads popped up. I said, we're going to put those phones away right now, because I'm going to show you how you can become a superhero. You know, so I'm speaking their language. Mm-hmm. I said, who here has wanted to be a superhero growing up? Now, give me a show of hands. So now I'm getting them engaged. You know what I mean? And just like, so I'm asking them questions. And then even when I get into the stats part of it, I made it fun, you know? And then when I pulled them into the story, I was like, Christmas, 2009, where were you then? It's like, I'm going to tell you where I was. I said, I was at home, you know, cooking for my kids, watching them play with their Christmas toys. But then my phone rings and it's my sister. You know, and just at that point, all eyes were like, they were just dialed right in, you know, because I pulled them in. And then towards the end, I was like, so, you know, if you become an organ donor, I said, you have the capability of affecting 50 people. But if you inspire other people to become organ donors, that's how you leave a legacy of love. And that makes you a superhero. You know, so I was like, and who wants to sign up to be an organ donor? And 3/4 of the hands went up. You know what I mean? So like a complete difference from just spitting facts to pulling them into a story. you know? So they went from checked out to dialed in, all from delivery.
Awesome. That's awesome. Very powerful. And just so true. And, you know, all of the things that we're talking about is ways to learn how to motivate yourself, motivate others, you know, whether that's your children, your spouse, whoever it may be, business associates, you know, these are all powerful strategies to improve the quality of your life. And it all starts with self-discovery because, you know, yeah, me as a, you know, certified in neurolinguistic programming, I mean, everyone was always asking me, what is NLP? What is NLP? Honestly, it's like it's like a deep dive into learning how to communicate with our subconscious mind. And it all starts with unraveling what is in there and how to shift things. So this is a very, like, everything that we're discussing is like really, truly the importance of connecting with ourselves, learning our motivational strategies so that we can motivate ourselves, thereby connect and motivate other people, and being, you know, we first were in tune with ourselves, but also in tune with others, listen to them as well. And the power of a powerful story, crafting a powerful story, and, you know, you begin to appreciate that when you start to recognize how you're motivated by a powerful story, which is all just tuning into self. You know, what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your body, you know, how are you getting motivated by certain words or certain mental images. So love it, love it, love it, love it, Robert. So if someone wants to connect with you or work with you, how can they discover, how can they work with you and where can they contact you?
All right, so you can go to robertbfoster.com. That's my website. It's got my other social links on there too. And if you want help with story creation, I have a free Facebook group. It's called Speak About Yourself Out Loud. And I actually made a direct link to it, speakaboutyourself.com. And that'll bring you right there. And I can walk you through creating your story. And I also offer a free 15-minute call, which you can book through the website, robertbfoster.com. And it's not a sales call. It's like, I just pick your brain for a few minutes and I craft a story for you absolutely for free. So it'll cost you 15 minutes of your life and I'll give you something that you can utilize to maybe even save someone else's life. Because there have been stories that we've shared where people have come back and said, you know, I was on the brink, you know, of ending their life. And so in sharing that story, like, we legitimately saved someone's life.
Wow. You
know? Yeah. So it's powerful.
Yeah. It is powerful. I mean, we've heard this over and over. I mean, the Bible, I mean, is full of stories. I mean, and it's still the most influential book and most published book to this day. So, it's no question. Stories are the most powerful way for us to learn and for us to connect with other people is through the power of metaphors and just real stories of someone's actual experience and journey. So love it, Robert. And so they can connect with you on your website and they can work with you, find ways to work with you. I know you're offering your speaker. So if someone wants to contact you to speak at their event, they can go on your website to contact you as well. And you got that podcast. That's an amazing podcast, Shut Up and Grind with Robert B. Foster. Highly recommend you subscribe on Spotify and Apple iTunes. So thank you so much, Robert, for being here and really pouring into the Happy Being Well audience. I really, truly appreciate it. And I'm sure all of my viewers, like, we learned so much today, like so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for, you know, contributing your time and in your intel around the subject matter. And also this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your place for unique and highly fashionable yoga leggings, organic facial masks, organic soaps, crystals, and much more in terms of self-care products. So thank you again, Robert, and sending you lots of bright blessings, much more bright blessings, and enjoy. And if you can share, and also share with, you know, the you being on TV on your Facebook page, like a little snippet of you being on the Australia TV page. I think that would be a real treat for everybody.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll do.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.